kid.
Thank you.
All right, let's
realize that, how much more smarter they are.
Fire back to order here. Next item up, number 17, presentation, Onetta. Come on up.
Especially in electronics.
Good afternoon, commissioners. For the record, my name is Onetta Fanlo, and I am with A&H Insurance. We are the broker for your employee and benefits programs. So I thought I'd start with a short history of the county health insurance. From 2008 to 2011, we were with St. Mary's Health First, and then we got a pretty substantial rate increase, so we moved to Anthem for 1 year. Got a substantial rate increase with Anthem, so we went back to St. Mary's. When the renewal was prepared in 2011, there was an $800,000 claim that was paid by St. Mary's on one individual. When St. Mary's processes a renewal, they look back 24 months and they capture the claims from that period. So when the renewal was prepared for this year, luckily underwriting only has two large claims, one for $150,000 and one for $80,000. So our claims loss ratio is much better this last year. Our claims experience from May 1st of 2012 to October of 2012 was 82.4%. To that, they add state taxes, premium taxes, and administration, which is approximately 16%. So that brings us up to 98.4% for our claims loss ratio. The initial renewal for the ensuing year that we received from St. Mary's was 18%. 12% of the renewal is what we call medical trend, which is the how the cost of goods and services grow about 1% a month. Obamacare added 1% renewal increase for men's and women's sterilization and contraception, which will now be available to all of our participants as of May 1st. The benefit will provide 100% sterilization coverage as well as generic birth control coverage at 100%. So also St. Mary's will now be administering their own contraception plans instead of using Unified Life. In the past, there was a separate ID card and procedure to obtain contraceptives. Now that the hospital has been sold to Prime Health, the insurance company is no longer bound by the faith-based restrictions of a Catholic hospital. There's an additional 2% for other mandates, such as unlimited lifetime maximums now. Dependent children can now be covered to age 26, and wellness is covered at 100% once a year. The rest of the renewal takes into account claims for ongoing medical conditions and prescriptions, and claims paid over the last 2 years. With that being said, I was able to negotiate a 9.9% rate increase on your behalf. So I cut it almost in half. Right now we have three plans that we offer to our employees. The most popular plan is our 100% $3,000 PPO plan, which is our base plan. The county pays 100% of the premiums for the employees and for the dependents who have no insurance through their own employers. The other plan that we have is a high deductible health plan. We only have two participants on there, and they do pay the additional cost. It's a buy-up plan for that plan. The third is an HMO plan that we've offered, but we have no one that participates on that plan, so we can continue to offer it or we can cut it out. It's not going to make any difference on our renewal at all. We did not go out to bid this year. With industry trends and the one large loss that we had, any single-digit rate increase is a good rate in today's market. We've had a few blips in the claims processing over the years, but we were able to elevate the claims to the right levels, and we had them resolved. The plans will remain the same with no changes. We will also recertify the employees who have their dependents covered this year. As mentioned before, if the dependents had no other coverage, such as their own employer's plan, then the employees have to certify that. We had significant savings to the county when we first instituted this because the dependents dropped off the plan. Please know that the employees were not forced to drop their dependents. However, they would have to pay a portion of the premium of their dependents if they had another option outside of the county. Last week, I was informed that as a part of Obamacare, which, as you know, takes full force and effect January 1st of 2014, The insurance companies have now gotten permission and approval from the Department of Insurance in the state of Nevada to begin charging employer groups the fees and taxes associated with the new law. Beginning May 1st of this year, $1 per member per year, not bad, will be charged to the group for the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute. The institute will assist patients, clinicians, purchasers, and policymakers, you're shaking your head at me, in making informed health decisions by advancing the quality and relevance of evidence-based medicine through comparative clinical effectiveness research findings. Please don't ask me to explain that. I can try. There's also an insurer fee that is 1.5% of the premium. This fee is being leveled on all health insurance companies. It's expected to total $8 billion in 2014 for all the insurers, increasing to $14.3 billion by 2018. In total, the amount assessed and actually collected from the insurers will be at least $73 billion. This fee will be levied beginning in January of 2014. There's a reinsurance fee, which is $5.25 per member per month, about $63 a year. This fund is intended to help raise money to help pay for the previously uninsured individuals once they enter the market in 2014. It is estimated that these fees will total $12 billion in 2014, $8 billion in 2015, and $5 billion in 2016. The states are permitted to increase the fees as needed to fund the exchange in their states. This begins in 2014 also. All of these fees and taxes are being passed from the insurance companies to the employer groups. I'm waiting for the actual breakdown of the numbers and the fees and the totals for the county, and I'll let Mr. Witten and Mr. Osborne know as soon as I have those numbers, as soon as they're released to me, so that you can put it into your budgets. On the other products that we offer, we got a rate pass on the life insurance and the vision, and we got a slight increase on the dental, about $2.96 per employee. Obviously, the health and wellness of your employees is becoming more and more important. With that in mind, St. Mary's does offer some low-cost or no-cost wellness programs that your employees may find beneficial. Classes for smoking cessation, diabetes and cholesterol management, healthy nutrition for life, which teaches you how to eat and teaches you how to read labels on boxes and so on. These are all available to your employees, and they also, of course, St. Mary's does come up once a year for a free flu shot clinic for your employees and the dependents that are covered. Healthier employees equal lower health care costs. And I'll work with Mr. Osborne to implement some of the programs, especially if they're free to your employees and it's free to the county. I think it's a good idea to maybe get started on some of this stuff. We've scheduled our benefits fair for April 3rd and 4th. We're going to have two group meetings on the 3rd, one on the 4th. And then I'll be here, of course, to go over all the highlights of the plans and answer any questions or concerns of theirs. We also encourage employees to bring, if they're having trouble with any claims or any private issues, to go ahead and bring them up. We do have representatives from all the insurance companies here that can meet with them one-on-one and go over their issues. Do you have any questions at all, gentlemen?
Affordable care stuff's getting a little pricey.
It is, yes. Everybody thinks it's going to be free.
I wonder, Nancy regrets not reading that before she passed.
Agreed. Well, she's not going to be impacted by it. She has government insurance, so
no.
She's fine.
Yeah.
It's not going to come out of her pocket.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd like to thank Annetta. She's throwing a curveball of changing RHR directors, you know, literally as we were seeking new rates. Basically, again, we hesitated to go through the whole process, not only of going out to bid, but more importantly of changing plans yet again for 100-plus employees and all their dependents. And to get a 9.9% rate change, we tried to get even lower.
And hit the wall
on that one. But she's done a great job trying to get that down. I will also tell you I'm confident that any of these additional changes, Hugh and Jesse have projected for 10%, as I recall, for increase in medical insurance, just strictly the med benefits side. And so with all those added fees of $5 a year and everything, we're pretty confident that the 10% will still hold. But most importantly, I think the ray of hope is two of our three collective bargaining units this year will be July 1 of 13 will be when that certification for their spousal medical coverage really comes into play. That's when the last contract that we approved, as well as the sheriff's contract, really brings that into, you know, into action. So, and that did save us, as Annette mentioned, substantial monies with both our general fund employees or our general government employees, as well as our non-represented employees. So this puts us on an even field throughout the entire organization. Great job.
Questions, gentlemen?
And if not, then we would be looking for you to make a motion to renew our employer benefits plans, including medical, dental, vision, and life insurance.
What would the motion be? What's the timeline for approving the contract? Would we be approving a motion to approve the contract today?
Yes, sir. You would be approving the renewal of the plans that Onetta has outlined. And the motion would be move to renew the employer benefit plans.
It's existing plan that we already have in place.
I'd just like to review it. I've never seen it. I'm really uncomfortable voting for something that I've never reviewed.
It's in your handbook.
Pardon?
It's in your handbook that we all got.
I missed it.
All your policies, your health, vision,
ill. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. I understand.
Oh.
Yeah. I just.
I thought you read everything.
I didn't read that. Well, I didn't take the health plan. So, number one, I'm independent, kind of like Bill is, and so I'm not on the county health plan. But my first thought would be a continuous time to look at it and review it before I say that.
Mr. Witten, what's our time frame on renewal?
The plan itself runs May 1st through April 30th. And I don't know what flexibility the carriers would provide us if we weren't approved in March, but opted to approve, say, on April 2nd instead.
I would be able to get that in on April 2nd if you wish.
Okay. Yeah,
that'll be fine. They'll have almost a 30-day notice.
And then can we get copies of the plan out to everybody in the meantime?
Absolutely. What would you like to see?
We'll work on that.
Okay. Just let me know, and I'll get it to you, absolutely.
So we do have that flexibility if you wish to see details on the plans.
Lance would like to continue to the next meeting.
That'll work.
I don't have a problem with it because I already went through it, but that's okay.
Yeah. So we'll just continue that till April 2nd.
Second.
Okay. The 2nd. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
That'll work.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah.
We'll need a motion in a second to continue.
Yeah. Now, if Lance doesn't have any problems, do we need to have Annette reappear?
No,
I don't want her to have to come up here if it's not necessary.
We'll probably ask her to come up and schedule it first thing at 9 o'clock or as close to 9 o'clock as we can, just in case there are questions that need to be answered by our broker.
Excellent.
Right.
April
2nd
at
9?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I move we continue this until the April 2nd.
We can't even hear you here.
I just want to find out how much is the premium will be increased on that basis. And I have worked with the, I was employed with St. Mary before, and have worked together with the preferred or CDS, or HealthFirst, as you can say, is all in groups. And I know that their pricing is a bit high too. So I do not understand why we don't get a bit from other insurance company. Thank you.
Okay, and even though you're going to, just so we can get as much of this off the table, I think Ms. Van Loo's presentation was crystal clear. They're going to look at an $850,000 claim in a prior year, and that's going to work against us in huge ways. And specifically how much the increase is it will be 9.9% plus change. The change Ms. Van Loo is still attempting to get from the various carriers that can invoke all these extra Obamacare fees, but we are factored in at roughly 10% and fairly confident that the budgets will hold to that level.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. At this point, Mr. Chairman, I move we continue this until the April 2nd budget hearing.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All righty, next item is 18, Cheryl Couch from the United States Department of Ag. And friends.
We've got a small contingent here today for this item. I'm Sherry Nevin for the record. I just kind of wanted to give you a brief overview before Cheryl comes up to speak with you. Story County contacted Far West Engineering in 2009 regarding the need to perform major capital improvements to the Virginia City and Gold Hill Sanitary Sewer Treatment Plant and Collection System. The majority of the treatment plant equipment was installed more than 30 years ago, and since that time, the plant has exceeded its treatment capacity, leading to discharges of poorly treated sewage into Six Mile Canyon Creek. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineering has provided us with funding in the amount of 75% for the design and approval phases of this project. The approval phase is nearly complete, with final designs and environmental conclusions scheduled for completion this year. Far West research and design for this project resulted in findings that nearly all of the sewer collection mains needed to be replaced throughout Virginia City and Gold Hill. Additionally, the wastewater treatment plant must be replaced. Far West research options for repair and possible expansions of the current facility. Unfortunately, the equipment is far beyond its service life, and given the constraints of the site, a replacement project was selected as the best long-term value to the county. Due to the large scope of the project, Far West broke the construction into five phases. The first phase is the treatment plant due to current discharge violations and additional flows resulting from the replacement of the collection system. The Corps of Engineers does not currently have any funding to pursue the construction project. Therefore, we looked at other sources of funding to include the state revolving loan funds, U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA Rural Development, also private and other congressional funding sources. We found that USDA offers the largest grant percentage with the best loan term. The purpose of the USDA Water and Wastewater Direct Loan programs is to develop water and wastewater disposal systems in rural areas and towns with a population not in excess of 10,000. These funds can be used for construction, engineering fees, equipment, operation and maintenance, project contingencies, and any other cost that is determined by rural development to be necessary for the completion of the project. At this time, we are looking at a USDA loan in the amount of $3.2 million at an interest rate of 2.5% for a period of 40 years. In addition, USDA grant funds in the amount of $2.3 million. Now I will let Cheryl Couch speak regarding the letter of conditions and obligating documents that she's bringing forth to you today.
Good afternoon. I am Cheryl Couch with USDA Rural Development. I am here today to just briefly go over our letter of conditions, bring you up to date on a couple of items, and just discuss the project in general, I guess. One of the key things I need to mention right now is currently our agency does not have the funds in our state allocation to fund this project. We have submitted a request to our national office. We're waiting to hear from them. So if the commission opts to proceed with this and if we receive the funding, our plan would be to then obligate these funds, which in essence reserves the funds for the project and locks in your interest rate. Our interest rate is currently at 2.5% for the 40-year term. April 1st, we know it's going up to 2.75%, so we want to make sure that, if at all possible, we can lock you into that lower interest rate. One of the nice benefits of our program is, once we obligate funds or reserve those funds for your project, you know your interest rate will never go up. If in the meantime, you know, as construction progresses, we get to the point of closing the loan, if our rate has come down, you will automatically get the lower interest rate. But the way interest rates are trending, I wouldn't bet that they're going to go down in the future. So we want to do what we can to ensure that you get the lowest rate possible. So this is, and hopefully you have copies in your packet. If you don't, I did bring copies up of this letter of conditions. So this letter, it does just exactly that. It outlines the conditions that the county has to comply with in order to receive the funding and for our agency to authorize the county to move forward with construction. We work very closely with county staff to go over the letter, to ensure that all the conditions are met. I can go over as much of this with you as you would like, or just kind of hit some of the high points. It's kind of your call. One of the key items is the amount of loan and the amount of grant funding. Statutorily, Virginia City is eligible for approximately 45% grant funding through our agency. We have gotten this funding based on the engineer's cost estimate to as close to 45% grant funding as we can get. That's the maximum our agency can put in. So we know with these future phases to be completed, it's going to have an impact on the county, on the users of the system, and we're trying to do what we can to minimize that impact right up front, because we know over the long term it's going to be costly. So we're doing what we can to provide as much grant funding as we can and the loan funding at the most reasonable rate that we possibly can. One other item that I would like to bring to your attention is on page 10, it's item 20 of this letter of conditions. It's regarding the programmatic agreement that is in place regarding the historic preservation issues. There's a programmatic agreement in place between the Bureau of Land Management, the Corps of Engineers, the State Historic Preservation Office, and then Story County is a signatory to that agreement. Because the Corps of Engineers is not providing funds for actual construction, they cannot be the lead agency on this programmatic agreement. So USDA Rural Development, we're proposing that this agreement is amended so that USDA Rural Development, or RUS, Rural Utility Service, that's the official agency name, will be the lead agency. So an amendment is being circulated to the Corps of Engineers, to the Bureau of Land Management, to the State Historic Preservation Office for them to review and comment on. And essentially, the biggest change to this agreement is replace Corps of Engineers with USDA Rural Development, so that, because the agency that's providing the actual construction funding, and, you know, when this agreement was reached, the Corps, it was hoped that the Corps would have construction dollars available. They don't. Our agency is providing the construction dollars, so in essence, the biggest change to that agreement will be replace Corps of Engineers with USDA Rural Development. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, that agreement is going around. A copy will be provided to the county for review and comment. So that is really, unless there are other key items in the letter of conditions you would like me to go over, that's the gist of it. What I would also then like, I have given the official letter of conditions, all the forms, all the documents that will require signature to Sherry to take care of. What we would need is we require the county or the chair to sign the letter of intent, which is a document stating the county intends to meet the conditions of the letter of conditions. And then we have what's called a request for obligation of funds form that has to be signed. So on that form, it spells out the amount of loan dollars, the amount of grant dollars, the interest rate, and the term. And then if the commission opts to sign these forms, move forward with the project, once we get word from our national office that, yes, we do have the funds in our allocation, then we will process that obligation and obligate the funds for the project. If by some chance we don't receive this funding, it will mean that we would have to rescind this letter of conditions, re-underwrite the project, because the interest rate will go up about a quarter of a percent. It will change the funding a bit. In essence, it would mean your loan would probably come down a tiny bit, your grant would go up a tiny bit, but you will still stay at that 45% grant threshold. So that's, I guess, in essence, the worst case scenario. Yes, sir.
A couple of questions.
Uh-huh.
In reading the document, I'm comfortable that all of the funding, both the grant and the loan, could only be applied to the improvement on the sewer plant or that infrastructure. Is that correct?
Correct.
And any monies that weren't be spent would be returned?
Probably. I will preface or qualify that statement. If the bids would come in, say, very low, and we're obligating, we have $2.3 million set aside for this project, then if you're to the point of, okay, we're designing our collection system, we could potentially carry over, because the loan dollars get spent first. Loan dollars always go first, then the grant dollars. So any funds that you would turn back on this project would be grant dollars.
Yeah.
So if we get to the point of phase two collection system, it's possible that we can carry those grant dollars over to phase two rather than turning them back.
I see. The other thought I had in reading through it, the contract refers to closing instructions, and it says that that the group may modify the terms of the contract and the closing instructions. If we're going to modify the terms of the contract at the closing of the loan, would the county, would the commission have the opportunity to review those changed conditions before
can you,
the final approval took place?
You'll have to point me to the page. Sorry.
I'm sorry, I have this in my notes. I'd have to.
Oh, okay.
It just says the contract refers to closing instructions. I think I can find it where you'd like it. Just take a minute.
We don't modify the construction contract at all. Once we go to bid and that construction contract is awarded and signed, that's not going to be modified, other than if there would be unforeseen construction problems and change order. That's a separate process. We may potentially have to modify the conditions required in this letter of conditions, but not in the construction contract. So if, for example, it was discovered that Story County had to have a five-member commission board, and you've only had three for all these years, you know, we may have to modify that condition to adjust for that legality. Or if there is something per NRS as far as closing with a revenue bond, for example, the security requirements, we may potentially have to modify this letter of conditions, but not the actual contract itself, not the construction contract.
No, the note that I have from the contract refers to closing instructions, which may modify the terms of the contract.
Is incredibly unlikely, is all I can say. Because what we require the county to do, what our agency requires, is we issue those letter conditions, we work through it, we get to the point of design is complete, we authorize the county to go out to bid, award the contract, and in the meantime, we also require the county to obtain interim financing or a construction loan. And so those dollars that are being expended are the same as if you are spending USDA RD loan dollars.
That's the section of the contract which says if we are able to obtain a loan at a lower rate, then we can be requested to do so.
That's the graduation requirement.
Yes.
That's after 5 years after you've had the loan, we review every single borrower and determine that is it possible for the county to go out and obtain credit from a commercial source at a reasonable rate and term to pay our loan off. Because what happens with our loan funds is if you pay us off, they eventually work their way back to the agency and we can make those funds available to other communities that need this essentially subsidized financing. So that's the graduation requirement.
I understand.
Okay.
And then my other question would be is if this commission moves to approve the letter of intent today on this, would a condition that if the terms are changed, it would have to come back to the commission for a second approval, would that be acceptable?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And the terms, the only term of the loan that would potentially change is the repayment period, not the repayment period. Right now in this letter of conditions, we have based repayment on monthly payments. The only thing that we would potentially look at is, does quarterly actually work better with the county's cash flow? So changing the payment period from monthly payments to potentially quarterly payments. But the term of the loan, 40 years at you know your rate, if we can get the funds obligated, you know your rate will never go above 2.5%. So as far as the term of the loan, that will not change.
Shouldn't change.
Right. But if we do, If there are conditions that have to change, if it's subject to something regarding the environmental process or something related to the construction contract, we will issue an amended letter of conditions and present that to the board.
Which would then be presented, yeah.
Right, right.
That satisfies my...
And as mentioned in Sherry's write-up, this truly is obligating funds for the project. It does not obligate the county. You know, if, you know, as she said, if those unforeseen circumstances arise, if the county just cannot move forward with this project, it doesn't obligate you to actually use the money. It just ensures that you've got money at a reasonable rate and term.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be very careful with my words here, but I want to point out that this item appears on the actions of the County Commission because all contacts with USDA, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and everybody else have been held with Story County. Mr. Nevin, Mr. Maddox, and I and others have been endeavoring to make sure that the proper boards and the proper entities are the ones that are actually doing the final obligation. So in this case, during the interim, while USDA is going out and attempting to get the obligation of funds, essentially lock up the rates at preferred rates today, we will be working with Bill and others to make sure that future documents appear either as Story County or, when possible, as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, because these are truly obligations of the ratepayers of the county. This is an enterprise system, so we'll work with you guys on that to make sure that doesn't materially change things. But we're really looking for the approval of the letter of intent to meet the conditions and approval of Form RD 1940 for the request of obligation of funds. And I guess in closing, I want to point out, and there's one gentleman that's not here in the room that I wish was, and probably others that I'm not thinking of. I wish Jim Baker from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was here to meet you guys, because this is a system with 400 or 500 or 600 ratepayers. I always have to remember if we're on the sewer side or the water side of the house on this thing. But we know we need a new plant. We don't want a new plant, but Nevada Environmental Protection folks and the feds aren't going to let us get away with that. And thank goodness for people like Jim Baker and the Army Corps of Engineers and Cheryl Couch and Sarah Adler with the USDA rural side of the house, rural development. Otherwise, we'd be looking the ratepayers here that have water bills. Three out of five of us sitting at the table would be looking at horrendous water rate increases. To get a 45% grant is the best of all worlds today, and I thank Cheryl. And then I also think we wouldn't be anywhere near as far along if it wasn't for the talents of Brent Farr and Far West Engineering out there, who has gone out and helped us find all these sources and really made it happen through a quality design process and just a real professional approach. So these are the pros that really make the rest of us look like we know what we're doing.
The microphone picks me up okay. Sherry mentioned in her brief that we've been working on this since 2009. Actually, it goes back before I was hired on as the public works director when Richard was still here. So, and we received some money from the community development block grant folks in the amount of about $66,000 to do the preliminary report for this project. And you know, that report came back, and as we all know, it was bad news all the way along from there. And we see it daily, so you know, it's something that, you know, is needed, and the process I know it takes forever, but you know, we're just moving forward, and you know, eventually someday we'll get there, and you know, hopefully everything will be replaced. I don't know if I'll live long enough to see that happen, but I'd like to. But anyway, just
because this is just the first phase, right? Of many.
This is just a commitment of intent. Well, to somewhat of what the county manager just said, our sewer system stinks. I think that, yeah, this is a step forward in the right direction. We've got to get it going someday. And,
is there a public comment? Or can we make a motion?
Or is there any public comment on this?
Oh, any comment on it? Mark?
Quick question from the applicants. It's, I'm looking.
Yeah, for the record, Mark Phillips, I'm speaking to the funding for Virginia City Wastewater Treatment Plant. I refer to page 5, subsection number 7. It talks about users. This letter condition is based upon providing evidence or certification there will be at least 386 residential users and 167 commercial users. That sounds like a lot to me. Is there anywhere near that many?
Well, we currently have 386 residential connections and 167 commercial connections.
Oh, those are the numbers?
That's
those are the numbers.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Janet?
Thank you. My name is Shanna House. I just want to check with you. I know that it was taking a loan of $3 million for this sewage. I'd like to find out whether this how is the repayment will be. Is it only from the sewage incomes alone, or is there some other payment on income that is to make the payment? Thank you.
And that's a simple question to answer. This will be an obligation intended to be tagged to the Story County Water and Sewer Board and the system. That sewer system has a number of AKAs, including the Virginia Divide, that Mr. Maddox and Mr. Nevin and I are endeavoring to kind of bring in under one act. But this is not intended to be borne by anybody other than the ratepayers on that system. For instance, in this case, had we been talking about the freshwater side of the house, we would be talking about extending potential rate increases down to the folks in Silver City that we currently provide water. At this point, they are on their own individual septic systems. So this would be cost borne only by the ratepayers that use the system.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to authorize the chairman or designated official to sign all related obligating documents at the present time, or no later than March 25th, 2013, consisting of the letter of intent to meet conditions and form RD1940-1, quote, request for obligation of funds, close quote. I would ask that the condition be attached to the approval that this document would be brought back to the commission for final approval should the closing instructions modify the terms of the contract at final closing.
Okay. Okay. I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Just one point of closing. I will leave the documents in the commissioner's office for you to sign, Bill. There's just 2 pages.
Oh, in your office?
Downstairs.
Okay, downstairs. All right, I'll get them. Thanks, Cheryl.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 19 is approval of resolution 13-370 supporting Nevada Wildfire Awareness Week.
Mr. Chairman, you've already probably recalled Patty Blakely got up and spoke eloquently to this. This is our annual declaration in full support.
Yep.
And staff recommends a resolution, you approve the resolution.
Comments? Look for a motion?
Okay, at this time, Mr. Chairman, move for approval of resolution 13-370 in support of Nevada Wildfire Awareness Week, May 4th to May 11th, 2013.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Item number 20, approval of claim the amount of $4,500 to Buck of the Block.
Mr. Chairman, I'll take this one. This has been battered around now for months because we can never seem to have the right two of three of you in the right place at the right time. This is a quarterly payment to the bucket. Please keep in mind, and we'll take a look, our current lease with the bucket may call for quarterly payments. We move this from the consent agenda to the full agenda. Hopefully at some point in time it can just be a routine matter of business. We'll pull it from the claims for potential conflicts of interest with Commissioner McBride's family-held business interests, not his personal. And I think in passing, too, without doing a quick and dirty analysis, I mean, there's been some voodoo economics out there that claim that we're grossly overpaying for this lot. I want to point out, again, as has been mentioned in other commission meetings, this lot has been improved. In fact, we just restriped and cleaned it. And the McBride Family Trust, I believe, who is the recipient of these lease payments, will be paying good tax dollars for the continued improvements of those. And just for perspective's sake, and I'd be happy to share this with anybody, less than 3 years ago, I believe, or about 3 years ago, we assessed a similar size, slightly larger, remaining parcel of bare land inside Virginia City, not anywhere near its prime location. And that particular parcel appraised at the time for $170,000. So, well, there's an awful lot of numbers, guesstimates thrown out there as to what this lot's worth. None of them are factually based.
I would agree. All righty. Comments on this? Mark? This is your baby.
Mark Joseph Phillips, this is discussion before possible action, approval of claim in the amount of $4,500 to Bucket of Blood, Inc. Bucket of Blood, Inc. That's a check number 74388 dated January 11th, 2013. And this is continued from a February 5th meeting. 2013. Can we say for the record that this is just housekeeping and that this check has already been cashed? You know, I know it was Deputy Dory was the clerk for the commissioners that day. Vanessa wasn't here, and I understand it was just a misunderstanding, but for a claim to be continued and then the check be cut in cash, what can I say?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I can state that at least as of the end of February, which is our most recent run data reports, that is still an outstanding check, so that check has not been cashed.
Okay.
All right. But let the record reflect that this check has not been cashed yet. And I did see this check in the treasurer's report at the last meeting. So.
Any motion?
Yeah, are you ready?
Yep.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am pleased to make the motion to the approval of this claim, the amount of $4,500 to the Bucket of Blood, Inc., check number 74388, dated January 11, 2013, Perin, continued from February the 5th, 2019, Perin. The check has not been cashed. Then I ask for a motion for approval.
Mr. Gilman, I believe you may have said 2019 versus 2013. I'm not sure if I could hear you down this far, but it's 2013.
I said 2013. I hope.
Okay.
I'll second.
2013 is the date.
Okay. At this time, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make it known once again for the record that the property in question with the lease with the county is owned by a family business, which I do represent. I don't personally have the lease. This lease was, in fact, signed by a prior commission before I came on this board. And until I receive a legal opinion, I'll abstain from voting on this. And also, for the record, that check has not been cashed. Waiting for approval.
Okay. All right. I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And will you call for abstain, please, so the record reflects abstain?
And I did abstain.
And abstain, okay. Okay, we'll recess and reconvene at the 474 Fire District Board. Item number 22, approval of the updated Story County Fire Department Central Lyon. Interlocal agreement, merger, automatic aid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Honorable board members, Gary Haynes for the record, Story County Fire Protection District, Fire Chief. And this is the agreement that's been updated to allow us to cohabitate with Central Lyon County Fire Protection District and their fire station number 38, thereby freeing up our fire station 73 in Mark Twain and allowing the county to have access and use for whatever purpose or function they see fit.
Okay. Any discussion?
I'd like to acknowledge the work that Gary Haynes has done on this. I've had the opportunity to go and visit and look at the facilities and all the equipment and review the interlocal agreements that he's been able to achieve through wonderful relationships and spirit of cooperation. And I champion this greatly. I thank you so very much. You've really helped our county. You've really helped our budgeting. You've helped our costs. And I'm delighted to sign on with you on this. And thank you for all the efforts.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a comment? I think hopefully on behalf of Chief Haynes and definitely your staff, both for the Fire Protection District and the county, I'd like to thank Commissioner Gilman. Sometimes you're in the middle of the forest so deeply you can't really see all the trees. And I think this started as a great 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-hour county orientation from the Fire District's perspective to incoming Commissioner Gilman. And it was just a simple question that has really fostered our ability to provide better services to our residents down in Mark Twain when it comes to fire and emergency medical services. It's a win-win for Central Lyon Fire, win-win for us, and in particular a win-win, I think, for the citizens we serve. We've struggled for years with staffing models down in Mark Twain, trying to keep our costs down. We've thrown a couple solutions at it that have worked in part and not in others. And between this and the wildland fire protection programs that we hope will continue to work forward and move forward on, it's been a great thing. So, Lance, you know, I think you deserve a round of applause for really bringing this to the table.
Thank you very much. The question I have on the and thank you for that, Pat, very much. The question I would have is, I believe it's your intent to set Mark Twain up with a new community center utilizing the facilities. I don't believe that's included in the motion today. Is that right? That would be forthcoming.
I'm going to kind of look at Mr. Maddox over there. There was an agreement written between the fire district and the county, although, Bill, I'll defer to you with that.
Well, I've been jokingly saying that we need to make sure that we describe ourselves by one name and not several, like, see, Nevin snuck out. As you know, we had the problem with the fire protection district and whether or not we had negotiated with our union as Story County or as the fire protection district. We got one of the new items in the new contract with the union was is they acknowledged that they're staying with the fire protection district. When this came up, I thought it'd be a good idea to check and see whose name the deeds are in for all the firehouses, and they're all in the name of Story County. Obviously, when we condemn the firehouse out, or the firehouse out in the Highlands, that will be in the name of Story County. We have tried and we can't find the deed for the property down in Mark Twain, even though if I had to go to court over it, I could establish that we own it because it was dedicated to us on a map, but there was never a deed generated from that. So right now, probably what I'm going to have to do is file a petition for quiet title and see if I can figure out who that land was dedicated to us from. I'd have to, and if nothing else, I can publish in the paper and serve them by publication. But so at some point in time, we're going to have to figure out. And mainly, we can move forward with it. There's no doubt we own it because they dedicated it to the county on the map, but just no deed was generated as a result of that. When Gary suggested that maybe the county should rent it from the fire department, that's why I asked the question. Well,
Just for clarification, I never said rent. I just said agreement. Just no exchange of funds.
So we don't really have to make an agreement with the 4745, the Story County Fire Protection District, comma, A 474 Fire Protection District. We don't have to make any agreement with them because the county already owns that down there. So we can move forward in doing whatever we want in terms of it.
So would our motion include the intent of the county to do that?
No, I don't. That's not really a notice, and that's,
you know, we can.
That's probably a different subject that you want to put on the. Potentially put on the agenda on what we're going to do with that building down there and the land around it.
And if I could try to summarize all this, basically right now while we're going through trying to make sure that the county is the owner of record, once the county is the owner of record through board action or staff action, we can do anything, basically. It's just making sure we probably will want to execute actually an interlocal with our fire protection district that allows them to occupy the bays, because they've asked for that in this process. But my suggestion, Commissioner Gilman, is give Mr. Maddox time to go ahead and ascertain title, however it needs to be, without stopping our process. Let's convene, again, as a suggestion, let's convene a citizen group of quality members that can begin the destiny. Then we can, if we can formulate them as a 501c3 or whatever, we can enter into a lease with them. We have a number of vehicles that we can do, but I think the intent has always been there from your inception, is this is for the most part going to be a community centric. That's definitely the future use of this property, except for equipment we need to stage there for the protection of our citizens.
Thank you.
So my very fire guy understanding is we don't need the agreement because you already own it, you being the county. This is my novice attempt at law.
So I'll call him tomorrow.
If I won't answer the phone,
you
won't. Working on something else.
And Mr. Chairman, just interject one more quick thing. There seems to be rumors and things going around the community that Central Lyon County would be providing services to that area. That is not the case, and I just want to be really clear about that, is the paramedic level service will still come from Virginia City. We'll still be dispatching our volunteers in cooperation with Central Lyon County volunteers. Mm-hmm. So you may see a red, blue, purple, green, orange, who cares what color ambulance getting there.
Okay.
But we'll still be providing paramedic level services from Virginia City to that area.
Okay.
Jim, have a comment. Your hand up.
As I understand that the fire stations, the mock trains, the fire department will take some part of the portion of the building for the facilities, for the equipment storage. How much of space will that be required? You're going to take half of that, or you're going to take three quarter of that building, which is now is just a committee center that is part of it, very small portion. So I'd like to find out on that basis. Because I do not understand that if you are merging, why you still need that equipment on that so much of space?
That's a great question. What our proposal is to maintain our apparatus space only. There's a mezzanine, I'm sure Mr. Gilman, all the commissioners have been on that same district for. Mm-hmm. Where that mezzanine stops at the apparatus space, we propose putting a chain link fence enclosure. Everything on the living side of the building, the upstairs, downstairs, office spaces, everything will go over to a community center. The only thing that we need to maintain is the apparatus bays. And even though we're consolidating our services and responses out of the Fire Station 38 side, we still need to have redundant equipment in case something goes out of service.
Yeah.
We can't have the equipment outside freezing. We can't have ambulances outside unsecured, so that's why we need to maintain that apparatus space.
And volunteers, volunteer response as well, correct?
Volunteer response will still come out of, actually will come out of Fire Station 38, but if we have an engine break over on Fire Station 38 side, because their equipment and rolling stock is of the same vintage as ours, and it's, to be quite honest, it's just not reliable. We've got to have immediate access to that surplus equipment, or that reserve, what we call reserve equipment.
I think it would be fair to say that the building configuration will be forthcoming after the design is reviewed by the county.
Yep.
Can I just one last question to Jordan? I just wanted to find out how much of maintenance for yearly for that vehicles that you're going to install or the equipment that you're going to install at the maintenance estimation. Thank you.
I'd be happy to look at the budget and get back to you and answer that question. I can't tell you honestly without looking at the budget. I would be giving misinformation. I really don't want to do that. But if you send me an email with that question, I'd be more than happy to respond back.
Motion, anyone? Sure. Mr. Chairman, at this time, move for approval of the updated Story County Fire Department and Central Lyon County Fire Protection District interlocal agreement for the merger and automatic aid.
I'll second that motion.
All right. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item number 23. I think. Is that where I'm
yes,
at?
Yes, yeah. You're good. Yes, sir.
Okay. Approval of 2013-2014 Story County Fire Protection District declared rates for personnel, rolling stock, and equipment.
Again, Gary Humes for the record. This is something that was started with the 045 Mutual Aid Fund. This is something that's been going on for years and years within our interlocal agreements with our federal, state, and local cooperators, and it's a requirement of that document that we all have declared rates. These declared rates are going to look probably odd if you look at our collective bargaining agreement, and the way that we come to this number is, for example, if we have six fire captains, we take their salaries, add them up in totality, divide that by six, and that's the average cost for that fire captain. It's the fairest, most accurate way to put in some kind of number for planning purposes. In that number, we also have our, so we start with our regular hourly rate. We also include PACT, Medicare, Social Security for some positions, or PERS. And that gives us our total regular hourly rate of pay. And that's that first column. The second column is a culmination between, our agreement with the California Office of Emergency Services for apparatus rates, our BLM cooperators, other local jurisdiction rates, and to be honest, it's a swag as far as trying to capitalize that cost over the course of 20 years for that equipment. That's how we came up those rates for our hourly for Type 1 engines, Type 3, so on and so forth. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have on this.
Gary, I'm a little confused. I guess I'm neophyte at some of this, but we're looking at this fire protection district declared rates and items now, which includes payrolls and equipment costs and many other things. This is a part of the 2013-2014 budget, is that correct, that we're currently working on?
This is? I think the best way I could describe this is an average of the totality of the budget that we're working on. It's not going to be, when we bill for services, we bill for actual hourly rates. But we have to put something that's a fair and equitable statement within our annual operating plans with all of our cooperators, and they do the same thing. So it will be going into the next fiscal year, and that's what I've done is every year in April we do this and we implement these costs, become effective April, even though we're not changing budgets until July 1st.
So as a layman, as I understand, these numbers are what we're going to charge for out-of-area support. Is that correct?
That's correct.
They really don't have anything to do with our current budgeting that Q would be working on as a part of our ongoing.
Exactly. It's apples and oranges. It's not It's not the budget. It's just for automatic aid off-county district rates. I hope I explained that well enough. It's.
I think I finally got it.
Okay. It takes me a little while on this one, too.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on it? What's the motion, then?
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the 2013-2014 Story County Fire Protection District declared rates for personnel, rolling stock, and equipment.
I would second that motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let's see. And we will adjourn and reconvene as the County Board of Commissioners and down to 28. Dean.
Commissioners, when we embarked with NDOT to build the USA Parkway interchange, it was required with the developers and with the county that the county accept the bridge and the responsibility of the bridge. We had to provide a letter of that up front. With that, NDOT gave the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center has been getting the easements for where that bridge goes across the Truckee River. So NDOT, State Lands, has come to the district attorney's office after several tries, and it is our responsibility to get a easement forward from them from what they call high water mark to high water mark of the Truckee River of the land that sits under USA Parkway Bridge. And that's what's in front of you today. The district attorney worked with them, getting the language from State Lands, and it's an inexclusive easement. Typically, you have to pay for those easements yearly, but they are waiving the fee, and it will be the easement of the Truckee River that lies underneath USA Parkway. And that's what this is.
Mr. Chairman, if I can clarify, and Dean, I'm looking at you may have gave everyone, including myself, the assumption that any of this was required by the developer. This was not a requirement by the developer.
It was by NDOT.
This was simply an NDOT and also the Division of State Lands from the Truckee River perspective. So, in my opinion, Commissioner Gilman has no dog in this hunt, no vested interest, and I want that clear for the record.
Okay. What had happened is Tahoe Reno Industrial worked with NDOT in the design and the construction of that, and then all of that was paid up front by the developer, and that's part of our responsibility to pay back for the construction cost of USA Parkway.
Correct. Bridge. This is not a requirement of the developer. This is an obligation of the county under the developer.
Right.
So all this is that stretch of river that runs underneath USA Parkway, and it goes what they say, high water mark, which is...
Yeah.
And so it's a cleanup of paperwork that they want, and so this would be given to the county exclusively as an easement.
And they've been asking us to do this for quite a little while.
Apparently this was started back with the old commissioners and kind of got lost in the paperwork.
And so I assured them that I would get this considered at this meeting and get the document signed.
So I met with Bill and went over this. I knew the history of it. Because I had to do the same thing for the Hayford Bridge, too. When we put the Hayford Bridge in.
Is that for that railroad project?
No, it was the Mustang Bridge, but it's called Hayford Bridge. I couldn't use the name Mustang. So it's not the bridge over the railroad crossing. It's just over the Truckee River. The bridge over the railroad crossing is an easement that we got from the railroad company. And then all that land was tried. It was given to the county, given to the state, then given back to the county.
And what it is the state owns the land to the high water mark. We've got our bridge on it, and they're giving us an easement. I'm not charging this anything.
So we can maintain it.
They say the Truckee River is a navigable river that a boat can go down, and that's how they own the Truckee River, the state of Nevada.
Yep.
That's it.
Why you told it? Just what's in it.
Okay.
Can I have a comment?
Public comment?
Any questions or comments or anything on it? Motion?
At this time, Mr. Chairman, move for acceptance of the non-exclusive bridge easement conditions for grant easement from Nevada, Nevada Division of State Lands.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just to let you know, we have to report it in both counties also, so both counties we have to record it.
Do you want me to take care of the building?
If you can.
You can go sign it.
On the washout?
I'm not too sure, we could just send it back to them and they do it, but I, well, actually, you can report ours here.
How do you want to do that, Ms.?
I'll work with Jenna.
I just want to make sure that you look at it.
Okay. Okay, item 29, second reading of ordinance 13247, amending the Story County Special Industrial Zone. Who's, Austin's up, huh? You got that one? All right.
Okay. What has taken place here, as you're aware, last year we had done a comprehensive update to Title 17 zoning, so that included all of the zones. We left one zone aside, the IS Special Industrial Zone, to do some additional work to it, also to visit Tri-Center with this zone. And so per the development agreement, Tri-Center would then have to adopt a zone if it were to be brought into the industrial park. So basically what this zone is we have our I-1 zone, our light industrial, our I-2 zone, our light heavy industrial. We have an I-3 zone that's applicable to the Nevada uplands land. It's a heavy industrial zone. And then we have the IS zone. And the IS zone is kind of a super intensive industrial zoning that we have particular to certain areas in the county that have historically been used for very intense industrial uses. And it's really a performance type of zone, as opposed to a conformance type. So the performance would be, for example, it requires mile buffers, in some instances a mile size parcel, 500 foot buffers for buildings, things like that. So what we have here in front of us then are really just changes that were made to the IS zone, as we did changes to the rest of the zones. A lot of them are just adding some uses that we see out there, or clarifications that we saw ambiguity in our past zoning text, et cetera, et cetera. This particular item will not be accepted by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Attorney Bob Sater has reviewed it, and at this time it doesn't quite work with the uses at the industrial park or the development agreement. He's aware that we're also looking at another potential zone that has gone to public hearing, which will be quote-unquote an I-4 zone that we may initiate in the future or even closer than that for something that may be particular to Tri-Center that Tri would be able to adopt. But this zone would apply everywhere else in the county. Of course, it would only apply in the IS zones that exist in the county. Most, like I said, the uses that happen here, what we have, are applicable to just general discussion about, you know, kind of the administrative aspects of the zone, as well as some of the uses. There are a set of findings I'd like to ask that this board, if you were to adopt the new I-2 zone, that I would be able to read the findings and this board would make those findings part of the motion. And then since our last meeting, I just want to make a couple administrative notes that we changed. For example, in 1738.040, we just add the word allowed. It would be required criteria for allowed uses and special use permits, because all of Title 17 now uses the word allowed uses instead of permitted uses when you look at a use that's allowed outright as opposed to one that requires any special review, et cetera. And there's the little things like on subsection C that we added that there would be a mile to any property in which, and this is the new language, a residential use is a quote-unquote an allowed use. A forestry zone is not that. So an IS zone may abut a forestry zone because a residential uses are use allowed by a special use permit, one per 40 acres with special use. An allowed use is a outright type of allowed use. So I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm happy to clarify any particulars to the IS zone. There's not a lot of changes to the structure of the zone from what it was to what it would become. It's just really clarifying language and making it a little bit better and more administrable.
Okay.
This is going to be where I can put my uranium enrichment plant.
Well, do you want me to answer that?
Go ahead.
This is a zone that allows rocket fuel testing. It allows, you know, all kinds of uses that are really intense. It does not have any exclusivity to uranium or nuclear, but it that's something that there are special reviews for those sorts of things. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you like, at one point or another, I'll go ahead and read the findings. They're boring, they're long, but got to read them.
Go ahead.
Yes, okay. So the zone change, the following findings of fact are evident in the zone text amendment to Story County Code Chapter 1738 IS Zone Special Industrial, amended Story County Title 17 in this chapter will. It will comply with the purpose and intent of existing Story County Title 17 and the regulatory zones within. It will be consistent with the goals, objectives, and provisions of existing county master plan. It will comply with and not violate any provisions of federal, state, or county regulations. It will be consistent with NRS 384 for the development within the Comstock Historic District, which it just does not conflict with, so no big deal there. No, it will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on abutting properties and surrounding area. It will promote the health and general welfare of the citizens of the county. It will be adopted with reasonable consideration, among other things, to the character of the area and its particular suitability for particular uses, and with a view of conserving the value of buildings and encouraging the most appropriate use of land throughout the county. It will promote systems which use solar, wind, and other renewable energy systems. Those are uses allowed there. Ensure the protection of existing neighborhoods and communities. It'll provide for mixed-use development where appropriate. It protects open spaces and natural resources in the county. The approval includes changes to the text which are made at this meeting as advisable by the district attorney's office. Most of these findings come directly out of the NRS for master plan or zone amendments.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, and again, I'll expect Austin to correct me if I'm wrong, because he obviously has days and days and months invested in this thing. Yeah. But I believe most of what you're doing, and in fact all of what we're doing here, is also consistent with the stipulated legal agreement that we have with the folks from Corta Vista on usage of this property, correct?
It would be correct, yes. And the Corta Vista land has both IS zones as well as I-3 zones. I-3 really is a combination of IS and I-3, and then this would be applicable to other land. Absolutely, this is fully conformance with the settlement agreement for Corta Vista. And has been reviewed by their team, by the way, as well, and given a letter of approval.
All righty, any comments or questions? Motion.
So when we move on this, Mr. District Attorney, you like us to go ahead and state that we move in favor of the findings that are put forth?
Yeah.
Am I,
yes.
Am I read that right for me?
What you'd say is that this you'd approve the ordinance number 13247, amending Story County Code, blah, 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 to update the chapter, and then incorporate all of the findings that he's read into that motion.
Okay. How are we doing, Liz?
You're doing great. Wonderful. Let me go. All right.
Go ahead.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I hereby move the motion to approve the second reading of ordinance number 13247, amending Story County Code Chapter 17.38 I-S Special Industrial Zone to update the chapter by adding allowed uses along with the findings read into the record to make changes consistent with Title 17 and providing for other properly related matters.
I'll second that motion.
All right. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you very much. And this is the last piece to our zoning update, or at least the major part of it. So thank you very much. It's nice to have this filled.
All right. Licensing board, second readings.
We approve all of them, meeting all the requirements.
Yay. Okay. A motion to approve.
Move to approve second reading of all licensees.
I second the motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Short comment, Mr. Gilman. Any additional?
Additional comment?
Just anything you'd like to get off your chest?
I appreciate being here very much. I thought you did a wonderful share.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for all the public comment. Mark, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate being here.
Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the beginning of this month, the chairman, myself, and Manager Witten attended the legislative conference in Washington, D.C. It's a nice place to visit, but not this time of year. It's extremely cold. We were able to meet with three of our four northern representatives, two out of the three, and those were the ones that carried Story County. So it was a good meeting with both Senator Heller and Congressman Amadek. We bring our concerns to them about community grant block funding and our sales tax issues, along with anything else that they can help us with the sewer systems, water systems, and the whole gamut. The three of us attended several different conferences. These seminars that go on, we all went to our different paths so we could cover as much territory as we could. One thing that came across my plate was Story County participates with the Nevada Association of Counties. They have a prescription drug program, which is a discount card that anyone who lives in the county can participate with. It's not insurance, but if you hold the card, and most of you already know this, you can go to pharmacies and get a discount without having insurance. They've come up with a new program. It's a dental program, and it works similar to the same way as the prescription program, although it's not insurance also, but it is a membership. And I'd like to see the county go ahead and become a partner in this, and I'm going to ask that this be placed on a future agenda item, and so we could, I'd like to see the county directed into signing up with this. It'll be another way for residents who either are uninsured one reason or another can go ahead and get dental care at a discounted rate, and it's really good. It costs you about $7 or $8 a month. It's a little bit more if you have a family, and or you can pay by the year, and you can go to a dentist and get up to 50% discounts on your dental work. And if you needed it tomorrow, you could sign up today, and then you could cancel next month. So it's you're not obligated for any long-term plan. But anyway, we got a chance to see some of the sights of Washington, D.C. I hadn't been there in almost 20 years, and it's always a great experience for anyone who ever gets a chance to visit our nation's capital. So mm-hmm. That's all I have.
Do you want to talk about your oath?
Would we like to talk about the three guys that went to Washington, D.C., whose mothers, all three, forgot to pack any warm jackets for them?
We're done.